Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who shows this?
And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine Thursday afternoon by you guys. Today on the show, we're going to run through a few topics of my own, and then I'm going to hand the keys to the show over to you. I want to talk about last night's incredible comeback that the Knicks had over the Spurs. Any opportunity we get to laugh at the Spurs, you know we are going to take it on this here platform. So we're going to talk about that. I want to talk a little bit about what I think is the main reason that the Spurs keep on squandering those leads and faltering late, and how much that has to do with Victor Wembanyama and how critical it is for the Lakers to build quickly so that they could take advantage of these early stage issues that the Spurs are running into. So we'll talk about that. Word out of the Bay, I believe it was Monty Poole who reports for NBC, the NBC station out there in San Francisco. Word from him is that LeBron's camp has real curiosity about playing for the Golden State Warriors next year. And I will give my thoughts on that, you know, and the entire Golden State Warriors apparatus as a news source. So we'll discuss that a little bit. And then, yeah, like I said, I have a couple of questions from the iTunes mailbag. We have, looks like, about 8 to 10 questions from Twitter. And then however many questions that you guys are going to have here in the chat over the course of the show. A quick reminder before we dive into any of it. Today's show is brought to you in live form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA to get $50 worth of free lineups when you sign up. Use the code and play a $5 lineup of your own. Make sure you guys are hitting that like button. Hit that share button. Please subscribe to the channel. Turn on notifications for the channel. Turn on notifications for YouTube so you get the notifications for the channel. Make sure you guys are hitting subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey, but wherever you get them is perfectly fine with me. And if you've missed any of the episodes in the run-up to this one, please go check out some of those. Really fun conversation with Trevor in yesterday's show. Really fun conversation with Harrison a couple of days ago. Just kind of chugging along. So without any further ado, we go ahead and start with last night's incredible basketball game. So obviously everybody knows how this plays out. 29-point lead that the San Antonio Spurs held in New York. You are getting these, you know, shots from around the arena of Knicks fans sitting there with Knicks fan face going, "Oh my God, I can't believe we're doing this." And lo and behold, they start chipping. I thought that in the first half, the Spurs kind of fell victim to their own incredible shooting from deep. They were absolutely on fire, lighting Madison Square Garden ablaze. And then they cooled off. But to me, the story was that they had, and especially in going back and watching it again, it really looked like San Antonio, they were allowing shot making to mask some offensive process issues. And when the shot making faltered and the habits that they had built over the course of the game to that point continued, that's where you saw their offense just completely erode out from underneath the Spurs last night. And, you know, credit to the Knicks, they took advantage. They built a whole bunch of momentum. They started attacking more, I thought. I liked the offensive approach from the Knicks. I think Karl Anthony Towns deserves a lot of credit for staying in the game despite his early stage foul trouble. And then you can't say enough about OG Anunoby. I truly do not understand the finals MVP odds. I know that that's a very narrative driven award, and I know that it's going to take a lot for Jalen Brunson not to win it, but OG Anunoby has done more than enough to get himself that award at the end of the series. But yeah, that was the greatest choke job I've ever seen on that stage. It reminded me at times of the Lakers' own choke job in the finals against the Celtics, that absolutely wrecked like an entire week for me in the Irwin household. I remember that when watching that game, just telling Jen, "Babe, I'm going to need a good long while. I'm just going to go for a walk. I'm just going to not talk to anybody." Made a few laps around the block, got back, and for like a week, I was basically in mourning because of how that game played out. And I'm sure that's how a lot of Spurs fans feel here today, and will continue to feel here moving forward. The thing that really struck me, though, in watching that game was, and especially late, and this has been a trend here with the Spurs in this series, when the Knicks need a good look, not even a bucket, right? You would like to be able to say, "All right, go get me a bucket," right? And that's the final stage of, you know, greatness with these players is, and full disclosure, Mexico, South Africa is on right over there. And if Mexico scores, I am probably going to run off screen. But anyway, there are basically stages of greatness for offensive players, right? So, like, a good offensive player with some help can get you a pretty good look, right? A great offensive player without any help can go out and get you a good look on his own.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
There's never been a better time to get outside and experience the benefits of nature. Discover nearby trails and explore the outdoors with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your outside.
The final stage, the absolute cream of the crop offensive players, those are the guys who go out and get you a bucket, right? Go out and get you those 2 or 3 points that you need in that given moment. And those final couple of steps, right? The guys who can get you a good look, and then let alone the people, the guys who can get you a bucket, that those players, they have spots on the floor that they are looking to get to be able to get to a certain shot that they have shot millions and millions and millions of times, right? The best example of this is probably Kareem's skyhook. Remember with Kobe, it was either getting to the elbow. Remember the shot that he made against Phoenix, where the moment he got to the elbow, you're like, oh, this is over. Michael, right, his fadeaway on the baseline. LeBron has kind of developed that fadeaway on the baseline. Like those guys, they have Tim Duncan's bank shot is another one that comes to mind here. Those players, they you know, those great players, they have certain moves that are not guardable. And by not guardable, I mean there is nothing that a defender can do to not allow that player to get a good look up there. And basically at that point, it's just hoping that player misses, right? Dirk's one-legged fadeaway, or one-legged fadeaway also comes to mind here too. That is where Wemby, I think that's the greatest and most glaring weakness in his game, is that when he has the ball in isolation, and this is something that has really put a ceiling on San Antonio's growth and development offensively to this point. I know that Fox is kind of the focus. He was terrible and then made one of the dumbest plays any of us will ever see in shooting that layup late. But to me, Wemby is the Spurs' best player, right? And Wemby is this guy who was talked about, you know, on this GOAT trajectory. And he could still get there. He still makes his impact on the defensive side of the ball. But if he is going to actually, you know, join that conversation of, you know, in that same breath with Michael, with LeBron, with you know, even Duncan there in San Antonio, you know, Kobe, Magic, Shaq, Kareem, if he's going to, you know, arrive in that class of player, he needs to find a go-to move. And for him, with how tall he is and how well he shoots the basketball, it really shouldn't be that difficult to do. I actually think that, you know, for him, I know this is an easy comp to make, but he needs to talk to Tim Duncan and figure out with those rocker step mid-range jumpers kind of a deal that either whether it's going off of the glass or just going straight in, Wemby needs to be able to take that shot and build a collection of moves around that shot or those shots. And until he gets there, I think San Antonio is always going to have a bit of a ceiling on their offensive, especially late game offense. And this is frankly probably the best reason for the Lakers to really go for it this year. Not saying that they need convincing. The plan from everything I'm hearing is for the Lakers to just go for it this year. They want to go for it this year. But the Spurs and these, you know, spots that they find themselves in, speed bump that they have hit, like, they aren't going to continue to hit this forever. I'm not guaranteeing that they are going to be back in the finals a whole bunch. I'm not guaranteeing that the Spurs are going to, you know, go on some dynastic run as a result of losing in these finals. No, I just think the CBA makes the sport way too unpredictable to just take that for granted. But they are definitely going to be tougher to beat a few years down the road than they are right now, right? I'm terrified by what Dylan Harper is going to turn into. And maybe their late stage offense just needs to be Dylan Harper, right? Right now they keep on handing the keys over to De'Aaron Fox. I think it's probably time for them to hand the keys more over to Dylan Harper and allow him to create while Wemby doesn't have these moves or the spot that he would want to get to and all that. Like, point being, De'Aaron Fox isn't going to be on the Spurs forever. Stephon Castle, Dylan Harper, Victor Wembanyama, all of those guys are all going to get a lot better over the next 5 years or so. So while the Lakers have this opportunity with Luka Doncic at his prime in his window, this is the offseason. You know, I know Trevor and I talked yesterday about, hey, what happens if they run it back next year? Part of why it would be so devastating, frankly, if the Lakers did wind up running it back would be because this is the time that you take advantage of San Antonio's youth. This is the time potentially with OKC facing some roster crunch because of their cap situation. This is the time you try to take advantage of them. I don't know what Denver's team is going to look like next year. You know, the East, yes, the Knicks are great, but nobody's saying that they're on the verge of a dynasty there in New York either. So, like, this is still a wide open league. And I think here for the Lakers, while Wemby learns this stuff, while the Spurs learn from these experiences, this is when the Lakers need to strike. You know what would make it really difficult to strike? LeBron James leaving the Lakers to go to Golden State. I am of the opinion, I know that Pete and I, you know, we really kind of hashed it out in the last hook that he and I recorded. I am of the opinion that there's just no path to winning a championship next year if LeBron James isn't on the Lakers. And there's so much production that you have to make up for. He is still so good at basketball that, like, if you let him go and the thought is, all right, we'll just replace him, you know, break up his $55 million into two or three solid players. The margin for error there is minuscule. So I would, you know, when I hear about LeBron James having some curiosity, according to Monty Poole of NBCS San Francisco, I think is what it is. When I hear about that, I do kind of say, my ears do perk up and be like, I don't want to hear a lot about that. Now, really quickly, before I move on and talk about what the fallout would be with LeBron potentially going to San Francisco in this hypothetical, I do also want to just really quickly say that of NBA teams out there, few franchises are covered with less ridicule locally than the Warriors are. And so frequently, we just hear about these grand plans that the Warriors have. And the people who are reporting those plans never seem to push back on, like, well, wait, can they actually do this? You know? And it's what makes my buddy Sam and his co-host Andy, and I think they have, and Tommy is the third kind of co-host that they have there. But on their show, on the Light Years pod, what makes that podcast so unique is that they do kind of stop and say, stop feeding us this drivel. Stop giving them the benefit of the doubt on these grand plans, given that they haven't done shit in a good little while, right?
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
And so like when I saw there was some report, now this one's a little trickier because I don't think this is from, an account that I truly believe, but it, like, I see people kind of tweeting it and quote tweeting it and aggregating it and all this stuff where it's like, oh, you know, the Warriors, they could put a team together of Steph and Kawhi and LeBron. And it's like, how, you know, oh, well, they could trade Brandon Pajemski, and they could trade Jimmy Butler, and they could trade a first round pick, and they could go out and get Kawhi Leonard. And it's like, why would the Clippers do that? Like, what? You know? And so, I'm not sitting here, you know, doubting the specific reporting on this stuff. Sure. The Warriors are probably telling people that that's what they would like to do. And I think this is somewhat different. Monty's reporting is somewhat different here because it's coming from LeBron's camp's perspective, and the curiosity that LeBron might have in this is a little different than like the Warriors hoping to land LeBron and all of this. Like, that makes it somewhat different. But I've just never seen a team get such, or I rarely see a team get so much benefit of the doubt, given that, you know, the front office that is currently making decisions there haven't really pulled off a whole bunch to warrant that benefit of the doubt. So like that, you know, that grain of salt aside, let's talk about the fallout here of LeBron leaving, let alone leaving to Golden State. So I again want to premise this and start this off by saying, in this circumstance, the Lakers could pay LeBron James the same exact amount of money that the Warriors would be paying him here. So if LeBron was to, you know, go to Golden State, he would be going to Golden State, taking the significant pay cut that he, you know, allegedly and reportedly isn't interested in taking here for the Lakers. So this would be, there would be some spite involved here. And I think the I think it's worth kind of hammering this point home that the Lakers have put themselves in this predicament here with LeBron, where he could leave out of spite and take significantly less and play at a number that the Lakers would love to have LeBron at. They could have a better relationship here with LeBron, but the fact of the matter remains that for the time that he has held off father time, for all of these years that he has, you know, somehow remained as excellent a basketball player as he has remained, the Lakers have basically been plotting for their life after he is gone. And as such, I honestly wouldn't hold it against LeBron to be like, no, you guys think you're going to be better off without me? Fine. Let's find out. And he would, you know, take whatever number that he would be taking here. It'd be the $14.7 million a year salary that comes with the mid-level exception that the Warriors in this hypothetical would have access to. So, before we get into the basketball fallout of what this could potentially be, I do think from like a human standpoint, this would signal and basically like a confirmation of the reporting that Baxter Holmes had on the Lakers and the tensions internally that exist, you know, between and some of the jealousy and pettiness that exists between Jeannie Buss and the Rambi and Pelinka and Clutch and, you know, by extension, LeBron. So just from that standpoint, that would be a bit of a bummer to see this play out this way. Now, from a basketball standpoint, that's where it is no longer just a bit of a bummer if it played out this way. It would be, I think, genuinely brutal, a brutal blow to the Lakers if they lost LeBron James for nothing. It'd be one thing, you know, if LeBron really pushes hard to make more than the mid-level exception next year, and if he goes to Cleveland and they agree to some kind of either Max Strus or Jared Allen type swap, okay, at least you get some kind of rotation player immediately out of LeBron's departure. But if this is just a free agency decision and it's a number that LeBron could potentially be on the Lakers books for helping them next year at that number, that would, you know, seriously sting. That would be really difficult for the Lakers to overcome in their effort to actually improve this offseason. I know that the Luka and LeBron fit and the Luka LeBron Austin fit isn't perfect. I also understand that it would be, you know, even more difficult to make up for LeBron's departure, whether that be via free agency trade or retirement next year, when the Lakers have fewer assets at their disposal. But at the end of the day, if the point here is just to have the best basketball team that you could possibly put on a court next year, then I'm sorry. That basketball team has to have LeBron James on it. And I know that it's this polarizing thing, and for whatever reason, Lakers fans like can't wait for LeBron to leave. I find that stance crazy, especially given the season that he just had, where, yes, it was frustrating for a solid chunk of it, maybe even most of the season, while the Lakers were trying to figure out the Luka, Austin, LeBron trio and that fit. But also, we saw that final month when LeBron took that back seat and relinquished the offense to Luka and to Austin and just focused on the little things. And the Lakers took off as a basketball team because he was incredibly overqualified to play that role, but he played it nonetheless. And that's what the team is going to need next year anyway, right? Like in this hypothetical that I keep throwing out there of Giannis potentially going to the Lakers, he's going to be doing some stuff that he's probably overqualified to do. Luka next year is probably going to be doing some stuff that he feels he is overqualified to do, diving on the floor, defending his ass off, doing all of that stuff. Like those are things that all superstars have to sacrifice for if their team is going to play at the level that we're watching the Spurs and the Knicks play at right now. So like, I just, you know, when you look at LeBron being at the number that he would be at for Golden State next year, $14.7 million. You are not going to get a better basketball player at that number than LeBron James. You're just not. That player does not exist. And I, you know, if the Lakers were to lose him that way, what's the plan there? Are you hoping that, you know, you go out and you maybe sign Peyton? Like, I think if you lose LeBron, your focus then has to be the wing or center. Like, I think no matter what, I would still like if LeBron is gone, if he's just leaving, I think the Lakers then have to make their choice of Peyton Watson and Walker Kessler. And they would have to, you know, sign one of those guys to a big enough offer that either the team, you know, Utah or Denver, they don't match, or, you know, a number that would at the very least force some kind of ripple effect across the rest of the organization after that team matches. And in that case, if the Lakers, you know, sign Peyton Watson to a big enough number and the Nuggets decide, okay, we got to get rid of Cam Johnson or, you know, Christian Brown or Aaron Gordon, maybe the Lakers wind up with one of those guys. But I think that would be my first move, would be to sign one of those restricted free agents. And I know it clamps up your books for a couple of days and you still might not get one of those guys at the end of those couple of days, but like, and this is where the whole Giannis thing gets interesting. If Giannis isn't traded before draft day, which is supposedly seen around the league as like the deadline by which they have to make a decision, that's a self-imposed deadline that the Bucks would be putting on themselves. And I just, those deadlines don't tend to hold out too long. But let's say in this case, Giannis doesn't get traded by the deadline and it extends into free agency and we're still looking at some of these things and the league is still held up. Well, if the whole league is held up, then it doesn't really hurt you that much if you have an offer out there that Utah or Denver is taking their time in making a decision. So I would, you know, I like the idea of making an offer to one of those two guys and then seeing what the fallout from there would be. If that isn't how this plays out and Giannis does get traded by draft day and, you know, from there, you know that there's going to be players moving who aren't going to stay in Milwaukee. I don't know that Milwaukee has a need right now for Khalil Ware. I don't know. Like if Giannis goes to Minnesota, I don't know that Milwaukee has a need right now for Jaden McDaniels or Rudy Gobert, whoever is traded in that hypothetical. I don't think this is how this is going to play out. And I think last night's game pretty much ends this as a hypothetical as well, but reportedly the Bucks are hoping to, you know, to see this finals go in the Spurs' favor. And in that hypothetical, does Mikal Bridges get moved? Mikal Bridges last night, very quietly, it's not being talked about a whole bunch. He didn't finish last night's game. They gave up all those picks And Jose Alvarado finished the game for the Knicks last night. Does let's go. Dos a cero. Anyway, but yeah, like these situations, and I think that there's going to be so much moving around across the NBA this year because of the CBA, because of how wide open the league is. I think that this offseason is one of those rare off seasons where you can have your money tied up for a day or so in a restricted free agent. And for those guys, yeah, like I would probably say it's worth it to wait for those guys. So that's where I would start. Then I would see what the fallout would be for Giannis. And then I would see, you know, if you lose LeBron, I think you kind of sort of have to bring back Rui. I would want Rui shooting regardless, but Rui has looked really effing good in games that LeBron didn't play in. There's been that overlap with the positions that both of those guys play. And I think in this case, if LeBron does go up to the Bay, I think the Lakers would look to retain Rui. That does cut into their usable cap space. But you would still have enough of it left over, especially if the decision is made relatively quickly on Rui. You would have enough of it left over that you could still do something meaningful with it. I believe that Rui's number probably comes in the low 20s, you know, and there is a bit of a market out there for him, a player of his size who can shoot the way that he does, even though the volume isn't necessarily where teams would like it to be. I think he probably gets a slight raise next year, and that falls well within, I think, the Lakers' budget for him. So if the Lakers lose LeBron, I think you got to bring back Rui. And you hope that you can, you know, actually improve your team despite starting the offseason with that big of a step back in terms of raw talent. I really hope that isn't how this plays out, though. I still don't necessarily see it. I don't know that LeBron would want to play his farewell tour in Steph's city. But you know, if Steph is putting on the full court press and if the Bay is willing to be as the Warriors are as willing to be as flexible as they're reportedly willing to be with LeBron, maybe, just maybe. I just think that would, if LeBron goes to Golden State for that number, that would be as much of him signaling frustrations there at the end with the Lakers as much as it is, or it would be, a basketball decision by LeBron. He wouldn't have a better shot at a championship next year in Golden State than he would have next year with the Lakers. So I just think it makes the most sense for everybody involved for LeBron to be back. That's why I still think he's going to be back. But I do think that we can't fully ignore these reports coming from the Bay, even though I think a lot of the reports coming from the Bay, you know, don't involve enough critical thinking.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.